regular meeting for the Mesa Town Planning Commission, Tuesday, October 29th, 2024, 7 p.m.
So leachability of the soil, in other words, the liquid to leach out of the soil.
And depending on where the homes are, depends on the soil.
Right.
And varies depending
on. So, homes generally, what Jason told me, generally the homes in Mesa are down in the middle part of this part of town and across have a better leachability, faster leaching soil than anything up the canyon road where there's a lot of clay mixed in with the rock.
Okay.
Even though it's cobble heaven, it doesn't leach very well because
of the clay.
It's so packed with clay. And so, in the one thing up in the upper part of town, leaches out, they call it 5-5 soil. 4 and 5 foot of stretch home require 20,000 square feet. Anything down here goes down to 1s and 2s. You can actually go on a 1, you can go put down to 12,000 square feet. Because of the soil. And then the people would have to design the house to fit and allow space for a septic tank and a primary drain field and a replacement drain field if that ever failed. They had to redo it. So we do have the option by state code to do make some modifications. So.
Okay.
Are you back before the window?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, let's go back briefly through that. Do we need to reapprove these minutes?
For the May 29th minutes, we're obtaining approval. Has everybody had a chance to review May 29th minutes? Just out of curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
We need to put these two items on the telephone agenda.
So some of the communication between this company that didn't go back and forth, or there's another little step in that because we now have to have a town
meeting. On the subdivision order, we will get that shortly. We thought we'd get some today. He was in email September plan on the name. So I guess my whole purpose was maybe to read you a little bit of this, but also kind of read you a couple other things that I think we should do. In our general order, it may not be in all of them, but in chapter 15, which is the code permits and things like that, all of our codes are dated clear back to 1985, both the building codes references. So I talked to Kelly about what he said. We've got several general building codes, we've got electrical codes, we've got plumbing codes, and all of them are clear back into 1985. He just suggested that we change all of them to read that it is Mayfield County approved the current building code for building construction as approved by the Santee County Building Authority. And we do the same thing with the international plumbing code, the international electrical code.
We did adopt those updated codes.
So we will adopt the current code that the county adopts. Because they're the building authority, they check all that. There's not really a reason to have us have to go back and re-adopt something new every.
If they're doing it, we don't need to.
We just need to reference for legal purposes that's what we go to, that's how we go to.
I think that's great.
So we'll write up a proposal for the next meeting. We'll basically state how we want to word that, get some legal advice, make sure we're stating it correctly, and then have that in the meeting for that. So we'll do that for next time. Let's see, the other. So does anybody have any questions on this subdivision plan?
I just knew from my understanding that we needed to make sure that we were following the new legislature's way with the two-phase process so we weren't dragging it out for those developers.
That's true.
That's what we needed to make sure, and I think we've got to work with
that. If you get your code out and look in that 68, the first chapter was kind of a little summary. Well, it's Article 2 of that gives a summary of the old method.
Okay.
And it's on page 18-52 of the bottom of the pages. But so that'll go away, and then the new one, which will be a shorter version, will come into play. So that being said, to do the checkoff, we will need to get a checklist. We'll get that typed up. But can you go to that one from Lee House?
Yes.
Yeah, that one. Probably the most complete that I've seen. Scroll, I mean, that basically just general information page right there. Scroll down through that. Okay, just stop right there for a minute. That basically is a little bit about what's required under general submission. Now keep going down below that. That's the process. Here then is the requirement. And that's every line item that they're supposed to have on this submitted drawing.
So, Mayor, would that be considered a complete application?
That's what we need to develop that. So when the person will review it with the Planning Commission on the first phase, when we review it, the Planning Commission can go through that first review, they can make suggested we can't go outside of our ordinances.
Right.
But if the submission is not complete, we'll explain what we have to have before we'll accept it. Then they go fix it, then they bring it back to me, and then this land use administrative authority, he goes there and he'll check it off and say, no, this is, you don't have enough information, here you have it. He sends it back to him. It's not a complete application till he reviews it and says it's complete.
Have we designated an administrative land use authority? Is that you?
Yeah.
Heard?
Well, yeah. We have
Travis. Travis Good?
Yeah.
Okay. Does Travis know this? I will remind you.
So, basically, we're trying to find enough people to kind of handle this. We can have a couple of members of the Planning Commission in a group with they can be a separate line of planning authority, but the whole Planning Commission can't be one body.
That's
right.
We have to
designate a smaller group, so they just basically check the boxes.
Makes sense.
So
we've designated. Now we just need to prepare a checklist of what is a complete application.
That's what we've got to get through on the third time. And I'll try to go through this one with Lehigh and get back to the... did you email that to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you should have that.
I
got it in the email. I'll pull it up on the phone.
But, so look it over. If you see anything you have questions about, get back to the some of the things are pretty high tech for us. And we may look irritated being in a land use specialist for that. We have a lot of people available to hire. We've even shown that, I think there's some options that are against the city.
Well, we've got some local resources and current people close by, and they have a paid person to help with some of the issues.
We do have a paid Jenny. He's also going to look at it from our 6th county.
Perfect.
So we'll be working with him. We'll meet with him Thursday, on some other stuff to try to get that. To me, that's our next big step, is to get that done.
Okay.
So,
makes sense.
So then, is this process on the 39 application now? This flow?
Because
this is going to the city council for final decision. I think that's about David.
This is kind of the old system. I don't know why they
might not hurt to pull up New Heights.
Well, this is the agenda 2021.
Where this one came from was the state.
You
can put it down. The cities and towns that put out this information on the fuel ordinance program. So here's an example.
Okay. Well, it might not hurt for Amanda maybe to jump online and just see what Lehigh's updated since the legislation.
We're going to get Jensen's and maybe Florida and see what. And Amanda just finalized there, so we'll get
her.
We'll get there.
And I don't know, Amanda, but we might not have that document anymore.
Why?
I got 10 pages, but I'm not sure what that. I'm just wondering if you're going to touch base on codified engineering standards, if that's something that we need to address in this meeting.
We have a lot of orders that we have a standard that we accepted, the standard from the state engineering standard for roads, curbs, gutters, and sidewalks.
Perfect.
We've also got width of right-of-ways described for primary roads and what they call collector roads, and what's the other one? You know what the other one is, Jake? The regular road that goes subway is about 45 or 46 feet. Then there's the other one that's wider.
It's called 40. No, I'm just kidding.
A main road and a collector road.
A collector, a minor. The collector serves the street either, and the minor street is the local service. And the minor class is 50 feet wide, and the collector class is 60 feet wide.
So that's the right of way.
Perfect.
That includes a 2-foot buffer beyond the sidewalk, and in the first phase of the estate over there, they put a 2-foot strip behind the sidewalk, a 4-foot sidewalk, a 4-foot planter, then a 2-foot curb and gutter, and then the asphalt. And in the last phase, phase two or three, he took out the pilot strip, which the whole city was trying to get rid of that, pushed the sidewalk up to the curb, and then I think we got a longer strip behind it.
I know they were trying to address an irrigation main, because they were going to have to service some things, and I think that's probably why they wanted to do some of that as well.
Actually, the irrigation line on the first phase of behind the sidewalk is a 10-foot easement there.
Okay.
There's a 10-foot utility easement behind the sidewalk, and that's what the power, the gas, communication cabling, and the irrigation area. Our water lines are out under the asphalt in the middle of the street. So we're not back in that.
We're not paying that one?
No. Okay. In phase three, they put all the irrigation lines back in the property.
Okay.
So they can access two parcels and not one pipeline too. So it makes it a little more difficult to maintain. But also, it doesn't encumber people's backyard because you can't build on top of that 10-foot utility easement. And that's on both sides of the property, even though the pipeline is only on one side, the utility easement's on both sides.
I understand.
So, I think that's where we'll probably keep going, so it doesn't clutter up that sort of guarantee.
On
any
new developments too?
Well, I think we're
not specific to that subdivision, but I think if we move forward, that's something we have to discuss on the zone. Because it depends on the utility and the land and the area they're developing. Well, it's great there, but it might be something we have to take it case by case.
Yeah.
One other thing I did find, I think when it's back in though, 240. I did find a reference to irrigation water in the subdivision, but it's in the title of it, but not in the body of it, down in 1868. I found another one that said that curbs and gutters, if I read that real quick. From 1868 to 1870. Curbs and gutters required except where, I'll have to read it, find it correctly, but except where they're in an existing street that's already been planted and completed. And so I'm assuming that means if you're inside a town here, it's better for you to buy a lot like the one that's down here on the first west and Chandler Road, that Janet, Joy Hanson owns.
Okay.
If you're on a street that doesn't have curbs and gutters, give the body that parcel in the subdivision lot,
you wouldn't have to.
You wouldn't have to do curbs and gutters.
Yeah, right on the
hole,
it tells
it says
that. Is that right?
Which one are you reading?
Except that curbs, gutters, and sidewalk noted on that.
That's the world I was looking at. So, that would be something we would make sure we follow, or not, or maybe change if we need to change it. And I'm beginning to wonder if the sort of cut down the cost of development is curbs and gutters a necessary thing.
Maybe it depends. That's, I think, it just depends.
You can touch on that, you know, what other means is as far as someday having a sewer system that we ought to have that has to be in place by the curbs and gutters and sidewalks and.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Down the road, we're going to have to make a lot of connections and fix a lot of cement.
Yeah.
Well, but here's the thing. How do you plan for that? How do you plan for that? Could you, on a new subdivision, say, yeah, we don't have it now, but the pipe here is under the cement, ready. I don't know. That might be something to look at.
I'll say this, with curbs and gutters, they generally tend to collect, and more of your water that rains down, and the insurance has to deal with much more stormwater. So.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of some bad things. It's right.
Yeah, for me it just comes down to engineers. Well, if you're going to cover the road, it's not going to, with asphalt, you got to have a place for that water to go, you know. And if it doesn't, it can end up in somebody's yard. And so if you can channel it down to the storm drain, that's the my thing holds it up. It just depends on the lay of the land, it depends on what's down the road. Because if you have something above another home or something, we've got to be able to move that water away.
We're creating that situation. We just put three homes out there on Main Street, south of the town, between First South and Second South. And then the third one is just beyond the Second South. And now we've got water going down the Second South just for that intersection in a previous project, they put a culvert on the road, and then that water used to just go down through the fields.
Low spot of the valley. Yeah.
And down into that drain that came from the south field. Now it's like we got a different homeowner there, and he may not want that water to go down through his property. He should down through that container of water. So, yeah. That's what I'd like to see, kind of get a whole scope on this. We might have to go higher than the year to kind of get this a little better and go beyond that pipe culvert that we did.
For me, it's very situational, depending on the lay of the land, depending on where we let people build a house, but we have to maybe address that. But if we're going to bring in a subdivision with the engineers and the amount of homes and all the things, I think it has to be something. And I know I don't want to put some in asphalt, but that's going to be a sewer system, but who knows? I mean,
do you know how long ago that sewer system study was?
It was when the previous water master plan was
But they did have a preliminary study and then presented to town council and I think it was a public hearing. It should have. Anyway, the citizen says, no, we don't need to pursue the system.
That's probably their master plan at the time.
So it would be required to at some point.
Yeah. That would be a certain amount of homes.
I think it's 1,000 residents.
And like you're in the middle. they still don't. So they are the outlier.
And I think they're looking for
the middle.
Oh no. They don't have
to
work.
Well, it's a big community, you know.
Yeah.
probably the biggest in the state now. So that's my thing, is that as the subdivision continues with Lakeville Estates, so home and home will go higher above existing homes, close to land. We've got to, I mean, because if you're Monty Hardy, if you don't have those collection boxes and things that you let us know you can catch water, you're in trouble.
If phase four comes in, when phase three came in, I decided to get involved in town, and we probably should. I asked them where the stone reservoir sign was. And they were just going to run a ditch out through the last 2 blocks of the north side of the road down on the Kenny Field. And I said, he's what's always around with us, but when you create something, you've got to have control of it.
Yeah.
And so we don't do that with the right-of-way. I thought it was protecting the field, but I said, okay, we have to have a legal approval from that property that we're able to take it off. And I don't know if I'm going to hold up. Then they get out there with the great number of things that are going to come along. And then they had to talk to the neighbor right next door to build the house and tell you that we need to keep our grade cooled out from this backed up water and ran across his lot and until the excavator did the factory soil, the soil settled. It literally fell about that far. Well, in the basement, they said, oh, is the county attempting to want to clean out my basement? I said, well, let me ask you a question. It doesn't look like that you've created a pathway for water to get away from your house. The dirt at the back of the house is higher than the dirt at the house. So basically, dams it up and save the land.
I think you should pay up for selling all the dirt for me.
But that's the situation sometimes that we get into, where people think the town is obligated to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, it's a challenging thing. So I guess the problem with this, looking at where we're at, what suggestions do you think we got? We got it all here, so we can get this solidified. We got the engineering standard. Oh, we got a finalized water dedication requirement.
Tell me what that means, man.
When one of the things that whenever you add that to the town, you've got to bring water, irrigation water into the system so we can provide that. Way back when they did the estate, the town agreed that they would have water available for the residents to buy.
Meaning the developer would have?
The developer would provide water for the citizens to buy. But that's not happening very much because of the high cost of water.
Yeah, and then I think they changed the rules to the first time buyer only or something, and then they were selling it between themselves and saying, well, I've already bought it from so-and-so. So I'm on a first time buyer now, and you can't have access. So I think they kind of went back on their own word.
Yeah, and so what we possibly want to start is if you add that to the account, you got to put over water. And that puts up the town a little more than driver to. I from the irrigation company, I said, you've created the problem because you've allowed water to be sold off the lot inside the town. And then they maintain that irrigation water is a private property,
right?
And not something you can require. And I've had people in the irrigation. The town just has to develop the water for the people to water their lawns. And I said, don't tell that to the state you know. I said, we're trying to get away from using color of water outside. And so I told them, I said, we're not very favorable that you guys keep allowing that to be sold off. and he should not he's going to be careful if he's trying to acquire a lot of chemical debt. Chemical said, no more building for this without water. As we might end up having to go there. And that was,
I would
take a lot of time over that chemical. But, as you know, right now we've got sufficient water as long as our strength is going. But, with the growth, like I think our growth will come as fast because we don't have a food system. Certainly it's growing, but we're trying to look by the Palisades, we've got a private water system. And the Sherman does produce a lot of water outside the town. And we have been doing it. We got two connections outside of town.
Where are they?
One
area.
Both of those type of towns.
And I can understand why they would have that access because we had
we need to build a secondary line down through, so we get two connections. But we got. The first connection they did was for Irene and Ron Harris because of the hardship. Because they really tried to develop a spring up in Jones Springs, up there down the hill, and it turned to saving. And we don't even kill the shrubs around the house. So that was kind of a lot of hardship, and then we've got Dan Lowe that's got one because we came down, he bought the property from Bud Marianne. We do have three community connections, just one costume is ever.
Okay.
But we denied a five connections south of the cemetery. Mainly because it would have been good to have it at the station out there, but we were there 50 times in the park, which is a cemetery, and if you put a fire hydrant out there, they require an 8-inch line. And so we bought an 8-inch line instead of a 6-inch line.
Engineers don't like that.
State water department don't like that. So, those are things. If we had a line out there, they would prefer that we do loop it back.
Yeah,
we have done a request for of interest from Borough Crystal, young Albert Borough, he owns the property kind of between yours and Wilcox. No. All up to the cemetery, that one field, and they want to divide that and let them in divide it in the town. They haven't come back with it. They come to the preliminary plan. We told them they need to kind of come with a plan that they wanted to just put a horseshoe road around the property and sell a lot. We told them we need to have a road to work with. So in line with our master plan, it would extend on to the north, that some of those would connect to
the area. Yeah, we would follow the plan.
Yeah.
And then considering the fact that you do have an elevation there, and you have homes underneath there. So we don't want to be mindful of, again, which way does the water back.
Yes, you know what to do is that one house that sits out in the middle of the hand growing.
That's not true. I don't know about that
one.
I don't got
feel. Well, we've got second size blocks off by house. We've got first piece blocks off by house. We've got second piece blocks off by house. Don Fox put his where he did. So that he can make sure he sees the view from the end of the road at the cemetery.
I'll give you Clown Street.
Anyway.
Where are we at in our meeting, Amanda?
I'm not sure.
What other items do we need to address, Mayor? How far our agenda here? We just know the nature of it and worry about it all.
Okay.
Did we finalize water dedication requirements? Is that some time that we need to be addressing this meeting?
We'll bring that up in the formal proposal, but we'll
talk
The next part of that was the rezoning. It was just a zoning permit application form. I've tried to get people to develop an elevation design on their house. The county will only require the minimum grade done by the IBC code. This means that you have to float away 6 inches of the first 10 feet, and then they don't care after that. But every time we're up there at the Fountain Green, I think they figured out that 50% of those homes flooded because the actual site wasn't very, didn't have very much grade
over the house,
top of the house. Some of them, they got hit with about 2 feet of water because it collected and took the rain into the building.
I know a guy that had 8 feet of water in the basement.
Yeah, one guy, the water stacked up in the window well, both these windows on the east side and the west side, filled up the house 8 feet and then broke the windows out on the other side and flowed right through the house.
Yeah.
But, so, I've been trying to get encourage people to do that, but basically nobody else even thought. So I may come with some proposals as well. We're not playing the game anymore.
I like it, man.
I had a guy tell me he didn't need to set grades on his site by the floor. I found a place in Oklahoma that says he does.
Perfect.
So I'm going to put that on the zoning application and set the grades and you'll get zoning from there. And then the county will enforce our zoning permit if we have those grades, otherwise they'll go right back to the mill road.
So, that's me.
Anyway, I'm not as prepared as I used to be. We'll deal with this land use for this kind of stuff. I think that's another thing on that forum. The last item, last week they had a land use meeting with Salt Lake, and they had all the lawyers there. And basically the emphasis is from the state is trying to get out of help towns shrink a lot size. And so that may be an issue that comes up. We may have to get away from that 20,000 square feet. It does limit growth. It does because it puts the cost too high, but it does create also prohibitive for younger families.
And we have to consider because of our transportation soil. So we just got.
And you see.
Yeah.
You know how our wisdom.
Well,
if we can't use it because we don't have a solar system,
right.
Then we're on the little cover of the bubble because you want.
Yeah.
To be able to put a house on it, you need a solar system.
Yeah. We have to just accommodate all those factors.
Yes. The state will allow us, but like you said, the recent choice, and we can use all the weather, but with a house right next to me, it's two-story house. It was one of those grandfather blocks there, and the house was built probably about as big as it could be for that lot, and it's still moving up into the self-protected drainage. And that's what they will require. So that could be the criteria. And I said, the problem I saw with that was when I went to Jason Hamm, I said, you're up in that soil with 4 to 5. I said, how did ever get approval for this, for a house on that size lot? We said, if we get enough drain flow that would compensate because of the size, the state allows us to allow people, our lawful workers, to build on it. So,
I know there will always be a couple little weird things, different parents follow as well, but I think we need to leverage it for the benefit of the town and everything, make sure we're making control of
it. I don't know that we have too many lots of those built on that are
probably the only ones that are up there in here.
Well, I've been contacted about the little lot and the little lot factory that they really reached out wondering if, you know, they could go build on that lot if they took out that mobile home.
Oh, the people. Yeah, that's a type of area. That would be another unique little spot.
About 0.18 and still cows and cows without.
The one that holds up it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the building off the town, so it's here by Black.
Okay.
Well, okay, this one right here is from South River, and that was Johnson. I don't know when they sold off that back half, but I think that was in the late 1880s or 1980s. But Bill Krause was within the last 2 years. And that was after the ordinance. And the ordinance basically states you can't sell off more than lots than.
Yeah, you can't knock the lot by a gentleman like that.
Well, technically, that's an illegal one. And technically, it went over by you for months ago. That created a problem.
Munsonville
created a problem because his lot ended up smaller than a minimum 20,000 square feet. He's got to get something grand to expand that. But the little house, the old Frank Central house, it's too small. So.
I think that now we're in a better spot with the planning commission. We can kind of use some of these things. But at the same time, you got to be careful. People start selling them. So, like, hey, we've got to meet the minimum requirement
here. So, maybe send a little letter back to those people and say, you know, you're creating a problem.
Yeah.
And somebody will get fixed. We did get one stop over here on First House and Main Street. That one from the southwest corner of that intersection. Robert Schwartz and there on the road.
Yeah,
the cemetery.
Yeah, I know
that spot. That lot got split in about the last, about 2011.
Okay.
And they came up to a foreclosure sale and it showed up as two lots.
Oh, wow.
And they were about 11,000 square feet each. And I mean, I was very good at it. I called the lawyer and said, we're having the foreclosure. I said, you got a problem. He said, no, we got two legal restrictions. I said, it was split after our orders in 1998. And I said, you either fix it or we will
do all of
it. Yeah, we will turn the water on. And when he kind of got happy, I said, well, look. Don't argue with it. They just go careful. You can't go wrong, no. I said, but when I get a lawyer, because I've been appealing, we've got a few stops, we got that, and we got the one of Janet Jones back in the state of the law. Well, it's owned by the same people.
That one is kind of deep green, though.
No, that's the one with the lady. They bought the house and the farm, but they split off the shed, and when we got threatened with a lawsuit over that one, early when I first got in here, because somehow they got to somebody who got approval in the middle of the planning commission meeting, and I didn't realize that an approval was only just a judicial use.
No.
Well,
it's
pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
The pavilion.
And you didn't go on an appeal? Or you didn't prove?
Well, I think it was more than two,
that's the year we need to plan more. Yeah, tonight. They work tonight.
Anyway, so his question to me was, why did you buy the property? But I said, what the hell did I do with the property?
Yeah.
I said, but I didn't realize that those barriers, if they don't act on them for the year,
they go.
What is that one for? Well, I found that out about 6 months ago.
Oh. Huh? That was an easy man.
Okay. This part of what I'm doing, not taking your time anymore, we'll get better prepared. This land you just keep talking about private. So the other thing, and government banks or towns do have a little bit of authority, but they're kind of shrink the laws down and give them down with much less affordability. And one thing I'd like to look at is, we've got the order so because you can't put a dwelling in an accessory building.
Okay, we talked a little bit about that in the past.
And we've got places where people have done it without any approval. And so we've got to try to figure it out.
Look, did we go through and define dwelling and all of that kind of stuff? Because I know we've got some barnominium things kind of going on and people want to live in a shed or rent a shed out or live in a shed. We've got some bathrooms, plumbing, and all that.
We haven't finalized it yet. They can do accessory dwellings. We need to look at this. We want to consider multiple family dwellings on a single lot. Some cities, we've got 100-foot width frontage, and some cities want 120 feet to be front. But I think we have to look at another thing too, is our minimum width. We've got one existing lot over on First South that's buildable, that has, I think, 18,000 square feet, and it's going to be 70-foot frontage. And it's between Carroll Yelton and very unreal for now.
Okay, I know.
But to me, that's a very buildable lot. But
you can build the home in
the house would have to be configured so that it met the side yard setback and was a little bit deeper than it is wide. It's a very easy, doable lot. But I think those are some things that we probably ought to look at.
I think that's why we have a standard in those circumstances, and that's
what it is. Or if it's existing.
Yeah, existing.
Well,
not previous.
Yeah. So what would help me out a lot is if you guys read through this and see if you see anything else that needs to be changed, we'll make a formal proposal on those ordinance changes, and so we'll get that approved, and then we'll try to go through and get a couple of options for this zoning permit application. I think that's a key step next is to get that finalized.
I agree, Mayor, because that application needs to be good enough that it takes care of all of this stuff so that we don't have any people business with developers just trying to get in and get the money and get out. We want to make sure they're following.
I think we got most developers want to do a good job if they want to make money, which is not a problem. And
I think it's great. But once they get their money, they're gone.
Yeah.
And then we have to make sure it's coming in between.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it over
there. Bingo.
I did send everybody a letter building in the subdivision over there that before they closed the zoning permit, they had better replace every piece of broken cement on the sidewalk. Because we weren't going to play the game. Everybody that came in there was a big load of shots and some of that stuff drove on the neighbor's lot. Only to get to there. Yeah. So. The fire got burned down a full pile of dirt on the sidewalk down at that north end by Glauzel's house. So hopefully they're all using that and not.
So those contractors will grant you permission.
Yeah, they're
neighbors.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So, it's amazing how contractors work if you don't have every little piece of cross with an eye on it. So,
I get it.
I'll see. Do you have any more questions? Unless we just put lights on them and call the town decoration like that grader up there seems to be out.
Hey, that's in cooperation. It's art.
They made it in 1948.
Is that how old that thing is? My God.
It is.
It is actually.
That was it, and then the parking section is straight through the travel going. Yeah, I think that's right there in the. Yeah, in the. So you should revoke the license if they're not going to move it and, you know, do those things.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, technically, she's moved her business, so.
Because a lot of the old surveys do have a big lot. But up there by what Dennis bought for us, that house, that property was found, the Tim and Christian, so they had a bus of about five feet. So where Tim and Sheriff was actually on Dennis's property. So they worked on a copyright agreement, but
something we need to defend from all of the old problems we have sent from.
Yeah.
With the faith of there for so many years, we've got a problem. And I don't think it's a problem. It's
a problem. The road will now pass my place. I think out partway is now owned by the town because the man of that deed is over the town, so it's going to be on the right of way. Once you get out, I think to Gene Bartholomew, he still owns the road. Well, I don't because my son and Martha are about 2 to 3 feet off the asphalt on the left side. And that's where that property on the one from the house was in. I sent mine back an extra 15 feet, just for 20, just so I have parking space for the kids. But where that house sits, there was just 25 feet of the property line, just so they have enough room for them.
So, yeah, it shows the gene of thumb on that road. All in front of this house, beyond that road.
And so that happens. It's not quite frequently that the property owner still is part of the legal restriction, but technically there is a prescriptive right of way for the road, and the town could go back to their own claim it, but we might have to buy it if we sell it. You know, it's kind of a right of way issue. Sometimes people get rid of it so they don't pay taxes on it. As long as you put in private owners, they look at time. So that's why some people are trying to get rid of it. And that lane that's right down in the south of it, that's still owned by the property owner.
Well, then it was part of the opinion because the hard part of description for roads and different things that if you've got these even on both sides of the road, and to kind of end up wherever the heck they are. So, if you want to get your land surveyed, how are you going to do it?
The surveyor will mark out where the property is, and he'll also mark out what is the right of way. So he can define that basically by the legal description of it, I think. You want to take a call?
No.
I don't know. We have
one they roll by the plot. It's sitting up in the town. And they're in the road.
Yeah.
So they go, and they can get a very exact survey. It doesn't fit with all the old ones.
Yeah. And you've got each one of them kind of. And my general, they went off on what they did a while back. They didn't have any work for them. The surveyors have several markers that they know where they are, and they're supposed to be accorded there. I know there's one up near the cemetery.
Yeah,
there's one. Such a section where they're up there, and there's several around. But I don't know exactly how they do that. I've had to follow the legal description sometimes to get to a place.
So you're saying that if it's not in the law that anyone else can use to look at, I'm not trying to invite it to anyone to get it. I'm just trying to see the people who are putting it in the same.
Yeah. So, when we were dealing with that road up there by Wilderness up there, the private gate, I took the legal restriction and followed the pathway from a corner over by Dennis Foster. And on the flat map that gave the property dimension, it followed exactly that pattern from wherever that was on that point was on the east side of the road which started Dennis' property. It followed the pathway up 551 feet and south about 180 feet. Then turned an angle and went up 460 feet, I think, how it was in those 4 feet. And everything added up based on the planet number the way the legal description tells us. Sometimes I can't follow it. I'm not a surveyor, so it might be well for us to give us an engineer to Jerry to kind of tell us what they do. I know Jerry had a colleague, Wilder, did resurvey his property, and his survey was 3 feet, well, 2.5 feet off of the survey on my side of the property, so there's a 2.5 foot gap that was closer. And as I go all the way up through to the 400 feet. So, anyway, do you have anything else? Thank you for coming. I probably wasn't prepared. I should have been. Let me just discuss it. We'll get that typed up ahead of time next time. Once we get that deal, and then we'll set up another meeting sometime mid-November. Try to get that.
Sounds great, man.
What night is that for me, guys? None? Was your chair?
Tuesday night is great.
Awesome. God changed himself.
God's come a long way.
Andrew's dad, he said he's dad. I can't say it's him. He's a hero. Still never
had his son.
There are a lot of them down here also.
I started here.
Are your parents been going down there?
I think so.
How's your kids go, Tyler? 90 miles an hour?
Yeah. Father's not as young as he used to be. He's got kids in middle school, so. Yeah. They're growing up.
So, they'll close your eyes.
Oh, I understand. Because
they'll be out of the jail.
Well, Mayor, do we have any other items on our agenda, or are we looking for an adjournment of the meeting?
Let's adjourn, and then we'll get more stuff put together. But if you can study these orders and see if we got questions on them, that would be more helpful.
Well, I'll make a motion to adjourn this meeting of the planning and zoning commission.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
We're trying
to get more information.
Perfect. I think that we've got a good start on the case there. I'm wondering if I can just keep these guys in the next meeting.